It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Good morning, good morning. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the morning. And no, Sandy does not have laryngitis. This is Lonnie Poindexter sitting in for Sandy this morning. And I consider it an honor and a pleasure to do so. You know, I was just thinking about it this morning, and it's akin for me. Remember, since Thanksgiving is coming up, that the little kids' table you had at Thanksgiving, at least in my household and probably in yours across America, because you had to Mom had the big table all set up with all the fancy stuff, and then the little kids, because it was always way more people than you had tables, but you'd pull out the card table or small table and put it next to the big table, and the little children sat at that table. And well, I feel like that little kid today. I get to sit at the big table today and sitting at the command central for Sandy. Thank you so much, Sandy. This is Lonnie Poindexter, and I am the host of the Lion Chasers Show, which is a Monday through Friday radio show hosted out of our nation's capital, and on Urban Family Talk, which is a ministry outlet targeting the urban communities across America for American Family Association. And we're just one big happy family. So when I got the call, I said, sure, I'll pitch in anytime that you want me. And this is my second time doing that. So if you hear excitement in my voice, I'm just a big kid. And so, like I said, I'm the little kid or big kid now sitting at the grown folks table at Thanksgiving today. Many things to talk about today. And let me mention before I get going, because I've been known to go down rabbit holes, that you can call into the show and ask any questions you might have or have a comment based upon a topic I'm going to bring up. And that number is 888-589-8840. Again, that number is 888-589-8840. 40 will get you queued up to come right on to the air across this great nation of ours. Again, jot this number down, 888-589-8840. Many things taking place here in the belly of the beast, as I call our nation's capital. But I wanted to point out something today that's been on my mind that I wanted to make you great listeners out there aware of. And I don't know exactly what to call it, the unintended consequences, the negative fallout, from a liberal ideology and mindset. And I know Sandy talks about this quite a bit on the show. I do as well. But there is a business owner in Detroit, Michigan. And this business owner owns a restaurant. And the restaurant is called 1917 American Bistro in Detroit, and it's in one of the up-and-coming areas in Detroit, an area that's being revitalized, and they're using business, and, you know, government's not trying to do it because, you know, in Detroit for many years, and Detroit's been run well over 50 years by Democrats, and, you know what happened to Detroit, it imploded. But the business community, as always, and innovation and those types of things, you know, that's what makes America great. If you couple capitalism with a Judeo-Christian ethic, wonderful things happen. So anyway, this business owner in Detroit happened to cater an event for one of Donald Trump's sons. So the community found out about this and decided to boycott the gentleman. And when I mean boycott, they just stopped patronizing his restaurant. And so the article is, I think it's Channel 7 ABC, WXYZ. There's, if you, let me see if I can give you the link here. I'll find the link. But if you Google, and let me just give you the gentleman's name. You can just Google, it'll come up because it's all across the wires. And Google the gentleman's name. His chef, Don Studvent, and that's spelled S-T-U-D as in David, V-E-N-T. And he is the proprietor of the 1917 American Bistro restaurant in Detroit, Michigan. So they stopped patronizing. And here's the thing, and I talk about this on my show all the time, is this groupthink based on a false ideology. And because a gentleman caters an event for the Trump team, he is ostracized in the community. Now, this gentleman's a black business owner. So now, because of that, and he says it's not fair here, and it's not fair. I do business. I don't turn down any business. I mean, if you're a businessman, business is business, and you make your determinations based upon what you're trying to accomplish, your goals and so forth, and grow your business. So he didn't turn down the business, and he shouldn't have. Now, here's the deal. He's a Democrat. And he voted for, and he said, yeah, I've voted Democrat for years. I'll vote Democrat again. But this is beside the point. This is business. But yet, even though he voted Democrat for candidate Clinton, he was ostracized in the community where he has his business that's providing jobs, which is providing economic growth in the community. And he was ostracized by the very people he's looking to help with the business that he has there. I think it's foolishness. I think it's utter foolishness. And so I posted on my page yesterday in Facebook, and you can go there by going to Lion Chasers with Lonnie Poindexter. I still have some friend slots available, too, so you can find me, Lonnie Poindexter, L-O-N-N-I-E, last name, Poindexter, P-O-I-N-D-E-X-T-E-R. Send me a friend request, and I will make you avail you to the articles that I posted there. But I said, you know what we need to do? What we need to do is show some good conservative Christian hospitality and call this man's business, hit his website. And the website is, American1917AmericanBistro.com, 1917AmericanBistro.com. And let him know that you support him in his business. You know, it's that's what Christian folk do anyway. You know, it's kind of like the Chick-fil-A thing when you really think about that. The liberals, I don't know what else to call them, came unglued because the CEO of Chick-fil-A, he came out and stated his values based upon traditional marriage. And you know that they came out against him. And you know what happened from that is Mike Huckabee said, you know, we ought to have a Chick-fil-A day. Well, Chick-fil-A had record business and attendance that weekend. I remember it well. Looks like we've got some callers here. And my first caller up is Charles from Alabama. Oh, wait a minute. Let me back up here. I got Susan from Ohio. And she has a question about Steve Bannon. Welcome to the show, Susan.
Good morning, Lonnie. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine. I'm trying to sit in this big chair. You know how the little kids and your feet are dangling because, you know, you can't quite reach the floor, but you're great to be amongst the adults. So being on Sandy's show.
Just be careful because there's a rule in my house. If you reach across somebody else's plate to grab something, they're going to bite you.
Yeah. Especially if some really good rolls on the table. My mother, that's one of her specialties. Oh, my goodness. So what's on your mind?
Well, I have been, a lot of my friends on Facebook are Democrats, liberals, and my Facebook feed since the election has been full of nothing, of course, but anti-Trump and how I voted for a fascist and everything else like that.
Right.
Now they're starting in on Steve Bannon and calling him an anti-Semite.
Yeah.
And I was wondering... And you can't ask them, you know, where you get your information because they just are like they are. And I was wondering if you have any input on where that thought might have come from.
Yeah, there's as I understand it, and I'm still kind of getting my arms around this as well. What they do is they throw half-truths and misinformation out there, and then it becomes fact in the mainstream media, and then we find ourselves always trying to defend it. Fox was talking about this morning. You would think with President-elect Trump, and even I believe one of his daughters converted to Judaism, that And he's very pro-Israel. Obviously, that's why 81% of the faith-based community, evangelicals, came out and voted and supported him, that he would have done his due diligence. And Steve Bannon, if they had any real issues about around anti-Semitism, that they would, you know, move on. You know, you saw what they did with Mr. Christie, based on Bridgegate. So I think it's much ado about nothing. I haven't seen anything that would tell me that Mr. Bannon is an anti-Semite. He's, I guess, polarizing to some because of his convictions and so forth. But I think it's much ado about nothing. What have you seen, or what have you, as you've done your due diligence in social media and looking around?
Well, I haven't had a chance, because this just came across my feed last night.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really had a chance to go into it. But when you ask somebody, you know, why do you feel this way, they can't back it up.
Yeah.
You know, and if they could cite something that said, well, you know, he was in an anti-Jewish march or, you know, something like that, there might be, you know, a little bit of truth to the rumor. But I guess I'm really confused and upset that any time you try and point out something, you know, from, in their view, the alt-right side, they don't accept your proof.
Yeah.
You know.
No, what they do is they shapeshift. That's what I call it.
Yeah, they expect you to accept what they say 100% sight unseen.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, and I have some conservatives that have expressed that their displeasure with Steve Bannon as well. And so it's, you know, for me, I said, what are you doing? You're looking at the same mainstream media to make your determination about whether he is an anti-Semite or is not suitable for the position. Susan, I'm going to have to let you go. Looks like the call lines are really lighting up. Thank you so much for calling into the show. I have now Charles from Alabama. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. I was just listening to the lady that called before me. She was talking about the Steve Bannon has been labeled a hate group. And if you really look at the source of that, it really comes from the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yes.
That's the source of all of this. You know, they're the ones that labeled Brian Fisher and Tony Perkins and Sandy Rios as hate groups. And now they're the same ones that have labeled Steve Bannon this way. It all comes out of the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Oh, thank you so much, Charles. I had forgotten that. That is, yep, so very true.
And they're also the ones that came up with this term alt-right. It's code for white supremacists. It's just a code word. It all comes from the Southern Poverty Law Center. Have a good day.
All right, thanks a lot. That's right on point. Charles really nailed it down. The Southern Poverty Law Center is the one that is driving this foolishness. And, you know, American Family Association is on the list. So, you know, it's a badge of honor when they try to nail you and say that you're a hate group, you know. So let's move on. Let's see. I've got Felicia from, what state are you from there, Felicia? Mississippi? All right, from Mississippi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's just amazing how you find out people. I grew up in a family where it was always told to us, vote Dems, Democrats. But God touched my heart in 2008. He changed my whole way of thinking. So here I am trying to help people. I say, don't look at the person. There's a platform, and you go from there.
Susan, let me jump in here, because we got a cue to go to break here. Can you hold on, and we'll get back to your comment right after the break? Okay, this is Lonnie Poindexter sitting in for Sandy Rios. We'll be right back after these messages.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. We at American Decency are deeply troubled as Christian colleges like Calvin College implement LGBT policies and align with interfaith dialogue and how these things relate to what God says about them. We are concerned over Calvin's lackadaisical handling of Holy Scripture and Calvin's neglect to fulfill their duty to the students, community, and bride of Jesus Christ by failing to guard the sacred authority of God's Word. It would seem that when the serpent asks, "Has God really said?" their response is a scratching of their head, replying, "That's a good question. Has he said?" Rather, the answer should be a resounding yes. God hath said, and we will hold the line here. For love of God and our fellow man, we can do no other. This is a Decency Minute, an outreach broadcast of the American Decency Association. I'm Bill Johnson.
Hey, we're Cutlass. Being free from drug and alcohol addiction is an awesome way to live, and God wants that new life for you.
Hi, I'm Brittany. There really is an end to drug abuse. I started using meth and heroin. Child Protection took my daughter. I knew I needed to turn my life around or it was going to be over. I said I was willing to come to Teen Challenge. I get to see my little girl every week now. Every time I see her, she'll run right towards me with her arms open, laughing. It's unconditional love that makes me think of God when I see my little girl.
You can live the life you were meant to live, free from addiction and full of hope. Even if you're not struggling with an addiction yourself, you may know a teen or adult who is. And Teen Challenge centers across the country are here to help. Call 1-855-END-ADDICTION or visit teenchallengeusa.com. You're listening to American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the Church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for a career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu. There will be more police officers than balloons at next week's Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. Security beefed up after the Islamic State called the parade an excellent target, suggesting jihadists use cars and trucks to attack the parade route. The New York City Police Department not all that worried, just implementing precautionary measures. The NYPD says the parade will be the safest place in town. Twitter's cracking down on what it considers hate speech. Several people affiliated with the alternative right have already been banned. No word on how many will be impacted by the purge. We also do not have information on who determines what is and what is not hate speech. Longtime Billy Graham song leader Cliff Barrows has died. Mr. Barrows was 93. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. This is Sandy Rios in the morning, and I'm Lonnie Poindexter sitting in for Sandy. And I'm truly excited to be on the show again. This is my second time sitting in the big chair, and we're talking about Stephen Bannon, and I have Felicia from Mississippi. Are you still there, Felicia?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, go right ahead.
Yes, I was just thinking about how people are sold to the left. Posting on my Facebook page things about Hillary and what she stood for, and I was just encouraging people to look at the platforms, don't look at the person, mm-hmm. and you vote the way you believe. But it was like, they was like, oh, I just lost all respect, because mostly everybody, because I grew up, I'm black, and I grew up in a black family, and everybody in the neighborhood that I'm from basically vote Democrat that I know of. And to me, it's just so crazy to just look at everything one-sided.
It is. And you know what's driving it is the misinformation that comes from the mainstream media. And I say on my show all the time that if you want to get a true depiction of what's taking place from a political climate in our nation, and internationally for that matter, you need to look at Christian radio sources, because the Christian media sources.
And I thank God, I didn't mean to cut you off, but thank God for AFA, because that was a big change in my life. It was not a coincidence that I happened upon AFA, and it changed my whole view of thinking.
Oh, well, thank you so much for that. And Christian media sources will get the truth out, because we use the Bible as the benchmark to judge all things. I want to thank you so much for calling in. Felicia, got to move on. Got a bunch of other callers. It's hot today. I have Rob from Ohio. Welcome to the start, to the show.
Hey, good morning, Lonnie.
How you doing, sir?
How are you?
Good, what's on your mind?
Good to have you covering for Sandy. You're doing a great job, and I could completely relate to that story that about the little table and the big table. That's spot on. Definitely. Well, I'm calling about the story you shared about the company in Detroit, the restaurant. I hadn't heard about that. I appreciate you sharing that. And you know what? To me, it's just, you know, another example of the double standard of the liberal left, you know.
Yes.
You think about all these different cases, you know, companies being sued, you know, the cake bakers and everything else for not wanting to make a cake for a gay wedding, and, you know, the same people that are screaming in Detroit that that this guy should be boycotted because, you know, he went ahead and did this catering, you know, they're the same people that, you know, are given heck to these other people who choose not to do certain things. You know, what are they trying to say, that he should have refused the business? You know what I mean? It's just a double standard.
It certainly is. And, you know, the way that we combat it is we show support for those. And, you know, who knows, we can maybe flip him and get him to start voting Republican.
Right.
Well, you know, I think this is a divine appointment. You know, there's no accidents. God allows certain things to take place. He's going to get a real first class education on, in my opinion, who his real brethren are. And I say all the time on my show, my brethren are those who share my values in biblical worldview. They may or may not share my paint job, you know, if you get what I'm saying. So he's getting a first-class education, so he's going to be compelled to try to make some decisions. He just wants to conduct business, and I don't blame him. But we need to show a little support to him. That's why I told folks, hey, call his business. It's 313-863-1917 to let him know you support him. Maybe order some crab cakes or something from it if you happen to be in the greater Detroit area. Any final comments before I let you go?
No, I just appreciate you. You're doing a great job, and good to kind of meet you, and I definitely look for you on Facebook.
All right, thanks a lot. God bless you. Let's move on. I've got Sheila from Texas. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hello, Sheila. What's on your mind?
I have a question about December the 19th. I keep hearing on Facebook that it could possibly go to Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
And I sure hope that don't happen, but I was just, is there a possibility that could happen?
If the moon and the stars and Venus and Jupiter and Aquarius all move and move in a lineup, you know, and Taurus lines up with Venus. I mean, you know, it could, the way the Electoral College is set up. Yeah, but that's never happened. They're trying to flip some of those within the Electoral College. You know, they still think they won, and that's the problem. You know, when we lost two elections in a row, you didn't see us, well, burning things in the street and all that other foolishness, because common sense, God-loving folk know better. But this is what the generation, you know, of liberalism, and, you know, you got a bunch of youngsters that come up in public schools and with parents who, I don't want to get into that, I'll be on a whole nother show on that topic, you know what I'm saying, that don't understand how America works. They should have paid attention in civics class.
Yeah. So I'm glad that can't happen.
Yeah. You can rest assured that that's not going to happen, but it's an argument they can present. I guess there's two within the Electoral College that supposedly are going to be a rebel, I guess. But, you know, we've got these checks and balances put in place for a reason. So one particular agenda or another couldn't take over and be dominant. That's what makes America great. I want to thank you so much, Sheila, for calling into the show. I've got to move on. I've got Kirk from Georgia. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah,
What's on your mind?
I just wanted to comment real quick. I did some research on the Steve Bannon situation.
Yes.
And where this whole anti-Semitic thing comes specifically is from when he was when he got a divorce. His ex-wife, in the court documents, placed a bunch of comments within the court documents saying general statements that he made anti-Semitic comments throughout their marriage.
Yeah.
And, you know, the validity of this is highly questionable. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no, you know, it's an angry ex-wife, so who knows how, call it, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. So
I was just thinking that.
You know what I mean? So, I think the fruit of his life and his actions speaks much more than an angry, you know, an angry ex-wife as far as his voting goes. You know.
Yeah. And what's that scripture in the Bible that speaks to you need two or more accusers for anything to even alleged things to have any type of validity that you should even look at? You know, anyone's been on the negative end of folks falsely accusing them of things, and certainly I have as well. Well, anybody that has our particular worldview, you're called everything but a child of God. And that's exactly what it is. And you couple that with the Southern Poverty Law Center, and then you have this fine kettle of fish of propaganda that they're pushing. You know, Stephen Bannon was very effective in helping to shepherd and steer the Trump campaign along with many others. And, you know, so he's going to be associated with that. But they'll do everything they can. It's almost like a Clarence Thomas kind of moment. You had one individual that accused them of some pretty heinous stuff, and they tried to use that to keep him from being appointed to the Supreme Court. But thank God, common sense prevailed, and he is one of our better justices in the Supreme Court. Final comment before I let you go, sir.
Yeah, no, just I really enjoy it, man. You're doing a great job, and I definitely plan on looking you up on Facebook and staying in contact with you. I appreciate it, man.
Hey, man, and next time you talk to Sandy, let her know I did a good job. Okay.
I got you.
All right, man. Okay, moving on. I've got Shirley from Tennessee. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. I'm an African American too, and I want to let the lady know that who called in. I also did not vote for Hillary because I don't believe in putting criminals in office if I know they're a criminal.
You go, girl.
And I just said something. I'm gonna Facebook you this weekend, but we got some people to thank also for Trump getting elected, along with Ted Cruz, who I actually worked on his campaign, and he sat in and he made calls and he got people who supported him to support Trump because people were wavering.
Yes.
The WikiLeaks, thank you, Russia, actually possibly Israel in my mind, because remember Obama interfered in their election. So now Israel, I wonder if Israel didn't return the favor for WikiLeaks, right? I want to thank all my black folks who did not vote. Thank you. Because they always go Democratic anyway, and
yes.
I want to thank them for staying out of the election. And Saints to Serve, Pastor Henriquez and Ben Carson, they were actually telling people not to vote. And I listen to Saints to Serve a lot also. And I just say, Lord, bless Breitbart. And I'm just so thankful that Breitbart puts the news out here, like they let us know that the internet is stolen. And of course, conservative news just let us know that Obama's thinking of calling martial law, and my prayer still is that the churches in the big cities will rise up, get their members all downtown, get there before these people get there, and then pray with them and give them gospel tracts, and all the people who claim to love the Lord, even the youth, they can go on and leave and let the four people leading these evil, tyrannical marches go to jail, and we can take it back over. And God bless you. Thank you so much. We love you. You're doing an awesome job, and we'll let Sandy know.
All right. Thanks a lot, Shirley. And just let me point out, for those of out there who might not be aware of it, Trump drove 8% of the African-American community to vote across the aisle. And, well, the last election, I think it was 6%. Of the African-American veiled voters voted for Romney, and prior to that it was 4%. So he moved the needle 2 points. Now, he had a lot of help from folks out there in the community that happen to have a biblical worldview, who happen to have the darker paint job in my network across the country for black Christian conservatives who were pushing values over ethnicity. And I think we had the desired result, you know. So I think it broke down. It was like 16% of blah, blah, African-American males voted for Trump. And I think it was 4% of African-American females that voted for Trump. So the men certainly in the black community showed up and showed that they could see through all the foolishness and understood what was going on. I've got Ari from North Carolina. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. What I wanted to contribute was the idea that every one of the controversies that we're facing politically or culturally, each one of them is a teaching moment.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been given a window of grace here with this election. It may be 4 years, it may be 8 years. But if we don't change the culture, we're still doomed. So what believers, Bible-believing people, must do, the two things. They must not accept the phrasing of the issues from
yes.
the left. For example, homosexual rights. There's no such thing as homosexual rights. There's
exactly.
human rights. Everyone has the same rights. We are endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights. We cannot accept the premise that there are special rights for special people. And those issues must be addressed bluntly, head on, and with the appeal to the law of God.
On point, sir. On point. You know, it's propaganda and misinformation, and we have a certain part of our populace. I don't know, did you see the maps that showed the election results and as it related to Trump in the victory, the counties across America, which is about all red, almost completely
right.
red, except for the liberal centers on the East Coast and West Coast. But conversely, there was another map that showed across the country the amount of voters that voted for candidate Clinton who were millennials. Now, across the nation, those counties were almost blue. All blue.
Right.
So it shows that we've
right.
got a generation of young people that have been indoctrinated, in my personal opinion, is through public schools and through also in working in conjunction with mainstream media. So we got a lot of work to do. But it shows that common sense folks can prevail. We can train up this next generation. You just have to put some work in and we can get it done. Got to move on, Ari. I've
right.
got Ariel from
yep.
Texas. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you. What's on your mind?
Hi. Well, I'm Jewish, so I wanted to provide a different perspective on Steve Bannon.
Mm-hmm.
Your caller was right that the evidence of him personally being anti-Semitic comes in from a sworn statement from his ex-wife, who is not a crazy ex-wife, but she accused him of sexual assault. And I think you should take women's claims of sexual assault seriously. And she gave some specific examples of his anti-Semitism. But let's say you don't believe that. What is for sure the truth is that he oversees Breitbart, which he personally admitted has become part of the alt-right, which is a term coined not by the SPLC, but by, I believe, Richard Spencer, who is a leader of the alt-right, who is an open white supremacist. The alt-right, I mean, you just look on Twitter, they're all anti-Semitic, they're racist, they're homophobic, they're everything. So
mm-hmm.
that's the issue, is that he is an enabler of anti-Semitism. Also, you can be pro-Israel and hate Jews. Mike Huckabee falsely accused, quote, liberal Jews of committing a hate crime in Evanston, in Illinois, at Northwestern. It wasn't Jews. He totally made it up. And he's super pro-Israel, you know, and he's blaming liberal Jews.
That doesn't mean he hates Jews because he has issues with liberal Jews. Would you not agree?
Right, but you know, there's a huge anti-Semitic history of blaming leftist Jews, you know, like socialist Jews. So a lot of anti-Semitism actually does have to deal with that. Another thing is, you know, Mike Hagee of Kufi loves
Israel. Let me jump in, Ariel, because we got to go to a break. I want you to hold on because I got some questions for you. This is Lonnie Poindexter sitting in for Sandy Rios. We'll be right back after these messages. We'll be right back.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org, healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
It's one of the most familiar and beloved passages in the entire Bible, but according to Alistair Begg, 1 Corinthians 13 is often completely misapplied. Be sure to listen to our study in the Great Love chapter this weekend on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Sunday morning at 8 o'clock Central on AFR Talk.
Consider serving the Lord with friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org. or call 337-433-5022.
We are going to the Holy Land in March. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. I only lead one tour a year to Israel. It's not my day job. It's just an annual tour that I do as I learn from my dad how to take folks to Israel. And we're going to have a wonderful experience. Most of the folks going are listeners to American Family Radio, are supporters of American Family Association. And we're going to have a great time March 9th through the 17th. If you want information on this tour of the Holy Land, you can do it two ways. You can call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5. 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5. That's families with an S. And leave us your name and your address, and we'll put a brochure in the mail to you. And if you want to go online, you can visit us at twholyland.com, twholyland.com. Again, won't be long till we close out this tour, so if you want more information, let us know.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. For days, one of America's most effective freedom fighters, Stephen Bannon, has been subjected to relentless and savage attack by those in the red-greed axis and their echo chamber in the media. Partly that's because he's so effective. Partly it's an assault on the man he serves as strategist, President-elect Donald Trump. I just got the Bannon treatment myself after someone falsely claimed that I'd been appointed to the Trump transition team. Suddenly, the radical left, Islamic supremacists, and the mainstream press seized on the chance to damage Messrs. Trump and Bannon by recycling much ballyhooed falsehoods about yours truly. After my status was clarified, the defamation heaped on me returned to normal levels. That being meted out to Steve Bannon and Donald Trump, however, continues unabated. It should be repudiated by everyone who understands the Red Green Axis to be freedom's enemy. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. I'm Lonnie Poindexter sitting in for Sandy, and I consider it a true honor. Hey, we've got a caller that I've asked to hold on through the break, and I have Ariel who, and Ariel, you are Jewish, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so would you consider yourself a conservative Jewish woman or a liberal Jewish woman?
I would say I'm liberal.
Okay. So you have a perspective based upon your ideology. And so, yes. I mean, here's my point to all of this. Mm-hmm. You have one individual who makes accusations in court documents, and I don't know if you've ever been through a divorce, but a whole lot of stuff is thrown because the whole game is not what's true. It's what can character assassinate the other party as they battle for property and whatever. A horrible thing. Anybody gone through a divorce, trust me, it's not something anybody should ever want to go through. And that's why in the Bible, God says he hates divorce. But it also says in the Bible that, and this I believe is in the Old Testament, and so you'll be able to relate to this, that there should be more than one accuser before you even take the allegations even seriously. And they need to be credible. I think what's being done to Mr. Bannon is what was done to Clarence Thomas when one individual came forward, and that was Anita Hill, and threw all these accusations out there, and they just grilled him. It was ridiculous. I don't know if you were paying attention back then when that took place, and then it come to find out that he's been one of the more stellar Supreme Court justices in modern history. So I would say this, Southern Poverty Law Center, which is biased to a fault, coupled with an accusation from an individual who has something to gain in a court within a court proceeding, is not a credible source. But I want to thank you for calling in. I need to move on. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. I have in the studio today, and I'm excited about this, Kendra White, who is a part of the Operation Christmas Child. She's a producer for American Family Studio. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on today.
This is so very, very cool because the Operation Christmas Child is a very, very great. Share with our listeners what that all means.
Oh, my goodness. Well, for years, I've had the privilege of getting to pack a shoebox like many other people to send. And that's just an amazing, you know, every year they have millions of shoeboxes that go all over the world. I believe this year they're trying to raise 12 million shoeboxes.
Wow.
For children. And it's just a chance for them to feel the love of Jesus through a gift. And they present the gospel when they distribute these gifts. But I've just been on the packing side of them. And here at AFA, we've promoted Operation Christmas Child for many years. We've had little packing parties with our staff in the offices, and we've put boxes together. But this was the first year I actually got to go on a distribution and see the faces of the children that received the gift and mm-hmm. see sort of how the ministry works. And
where'd you go?
Oh, my goodness. We went to the Dominican Republic. And it's really just life changing. Like I knew Operation Christmas Child was the real deal before I went. But now I am just one of their biggest advocates. So we went on two distributions each day. We'd go one in the morning, once in the afternoon. And basically, they work with the local churches to present the gospel, to make sure that, they're respectful of the local economy and the local churches. And they really do it right. I mean, there's a lot of ways that you could do it wrong, but they make sure that the gospel is presented every single time. And then they give the children an opportunity to follow up with a 12-week discipleship course that answers the question, who is Jesus Christ? Just to give you kind of a feel of a general distribution, they pass out the boxes after mm-hmm. they've talked about Christ, and the kids are so excited, and you just want to have that Christmas morning moment where they want to rip them open. So they have them put them on top of their heads until everybody has one, and then they count down, and these kids open these boxes, and then it is chaos and just screaming and smiles. And I was actually filming with American Family Studios. We put a little video together showing AFA packing a box and one of the children that received it. And I got to tell you, like 98% of our audio was unusable because it was just children screaming, like squeals. at one point in the video, we are filming a little girl who received a gift, and she's unpacking it, and she gets about halfway through the gift, and she gets to a picture. AFA put a picture of our staff in there so she could see who's praying for her and let her know that we love her. And she just stopped, and she came and gave me a hug, like in the middle. I mean, she hadn't even seen all of her gifts, and like I was choking up and had to stop the camera and was like, oh my goodness. But these kids, everything that they get means so much to them. We had one little boy, he got a pair of socks, which, you know, in the U.S., our children are, oh, another pair of socks. Oh, mm-hmm. I hope they're clean, Mom, you know. but he was kissing this pair of socks. And there were so many children that came in just no shoes, no socks on. And every little bit that you give means the world to them.
That's so powerful. You got me over here. I'm just about breaking out the tissues because it's bringing back so many vivid memories for me. I was blessed enough to have two wonderful parents who are still with me. They're up in age, but still around, who made the Christmas season so very special for me and my siblings. And so the excitement that you mentioned, I was hearkening back to that, that, you know, we were not inundated with gifts, but the gifts that we were given, they had meaning and purpose. And my youngest sister, it was so cute because she would get so excited that she would, her thing was she was into the Christmas bulbs and anything Christmas. And we had to keep her from the tree because she would grab the bulbs and be so excited and screaming that she'd grab them and burst them, you know, back when they used to break. So keep the bulbs from Lala. We don't have them there. So I get a picture of that if you talk about the excitement with children. You know, our Heavenly Father is a good father. And the world tries to depict him as somebody in some far off place somewhere up in the sky that has no concern for the plight of his creation and specifically his children. But because of us, his children, we are vessels to be used to carry out the love that he wants to show for all of humanity. And this is certainly an excellent way to do that. Share with our listeners how they can learn more and participate, all that kind of good stuff.
Absolutely. Well, the first thing you can do is pack a shoebox. It's really easy. They have all the explanation of what you need to do, what you need to pack. Mm-hmm. If you go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC.
Say that again.
It's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC, as in Operation Christmas Child. And they have what to put in, what not to put in. You can print out labels. You can actually track your gift to see what region your box goes to. So you can be praying specifically for the child that gets your gift. And sometimes people have had the children that receive the gifts contact them a year or so later and tell them what a difference it made in their life. So the first thing you can do is you can pack a shoebox. The second thing is you can pray. And God really uses the specific things that get packed into these boxes. I got to meet a woman who was on the distribution with us that she received a box. And one of the specific items in her box was something that she had been praying. She'd asked the Lord, she said, "Lord, if you love me, it would mean so much if it snowed at Christmas." And it didn't snow at Christmas. And now, granted, she knows now that you shouldn't test God with the weather, you know, but but in her young state then, you know, she did not know the Lord well. And she opened up her shoebox that Operation Christmas Child came in. She was in a communist country. They came into her town the day after Christmas. It's a big war going on. And she opened up her shoebox, and there was a little snow globe was the first thing that she picked up. And she said it meant the Lord knows me, and he loves me, and he cares about me. And she ended up accepting Christ that day. But the things that you put in these boxes, really pray over them, and God will guide you. And he'll use even just the specific little things. I remember one girl shared she was in an orphanage, and she never had her own hair clips. They had, like, community hair clips, you know. And she got her own hair clips in her box, something that, you know, maybe might be $2 at Walmart to buy those little hair clips. But it meant so much to her. So, you know, pack a shoebox, pray about what to put in it. And also you can get involved with The Greatest Journey. And that's that discipleship program I was telling you about, the 12-week. And that really helps them learn about who Jesus is. So it's not just here's a gift and a gospel presentation, but it's walking you through discipleship. Yes. And for only a few dollars per child, you can provide a story booklet that's in their language. That'll help them be able to learn who he is. And that's the most exciting thing to share ever.
Oh, my goodness. So you pack the shoebox, and then you send it to where?
Yes. So there's actually this week, November 14th through the 21st, is National Collection Week. So there are over 4,000 collection sites where you can drop off your shoebox. And they have those on a big map if you go to the SamaritansPurse.org /OCC. There's a lot of churches. Probably a church in your community has a drop-off location.
Oh, great, because I'm putting that on my to-do list.
You know, it's a really fun thing for families to do if you're trying to train your children to have character around Christmas, to be selfless, to focus on what Christmas is really about, because there's so much negative, you know, what Christmas is not about, the commercialism. And when you can teach your children to be generous, to be kingdom-focused around the holidays, it's a great learning experience for them, and you can pack it together as a family. I know a lot of families have shared stories about going to Walmart and letting the kids pick out gifts and really yes. praying together. So it's a great opportunity for families.
Oh boy, I just you're taking me down memory lane. They didn't have Walmart when I was a kid.
Oh, wow.
They had Savon's drugstores, and Mom would take me and my sisters to the store, and we each had a little budget. We'd save our money, and we'd go buy gifts for each family member in the stores. And now Savon had trinkets and things. I mean, you weren't spending high dollar items, but the gifts had such meaning because you think about each person and what you wanted to do for them to show your love. Now, if you could do this on this scale, oh my goodness, because here I am, I'm an old guy, but I can still remember giving a gift to someone that I loved and cared about and watching their reaction. It just emboldened me to want to be a giver. And, you know, that's what we're called to be as the body of Christ, is to give. And what is certainly an excellent way to do that. And so, again, share with our listeners how they can go out and participate in this, and phone numbers and contact and email address and all that kind of good stuff.
Yes. Well, the best way is to go online to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. They have all the contact information there. National Collection Week is this week, November 14th through the 21st.
Okay.
And there's also opportunities, if you say it's too late for me to get my act together and pack a shoebox this year, there's opportunities for you to give online and with that Greatest Journey and other ways. So, again, that's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC.
OCC. Okay, I'm jotting that down. You hear that, ladies and gentlemen? Make sure that you jot that information down, and then go to the website and find out where those centers are in your area and get that shoebox together. Or if you want to, just make a donation directly to support this. And this is so cool. I was in Tupelo for the Share-a-thon.
Yes.
And it was my, I think, third participation. And the love that's within AFA is, I feel like I'm coming home to family. And just regular folks that happen to love God, and not only love God, but actually believe in what he says. And these types of things are the outpouring that comes from a ministry that is bold enough to believe in what God says. So, ladies and gentlemen, please, as your heart guides you, participate in this wonderful program. Samaritan's Purse, as we all know, does wonderful work and always has, and will continue to do so. But, you know, they need your contributions and support to make those things happen. Any final comments before I let you go?
Well, you know, Lonnie, American Family Association has been partnering with Operation Christmas Child for a long time. What I went was on a partner's tour, and one of the really neat things was to see how the collective body of Christ was working together. And if you ask God, how can you use me? He will always 100% of the time answer you.
Yes, he will.
He will be specific, and he's creative, and he uses the gifts that each person has. And I'm so excited that he's using American Family Radio to spread the news about Operation Christmas Child. I'm glad I got to use my film skills and just ask God how he can use you this Christmas to spread the gospel, and he will.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Kendra White. You want to make sure you're participating in Operation Christmas Child. Well, that wonderful music you hear is letting me know that we're coming up on the conclusion of the show. Thank you so much, Sandy, for letting me sit in the big chair today and at the big table for Thanksgiving. This is Lonnie Poindexter. Catch me on Lion Chasers with Lonnie Poindexter at UrbanFamilyTalk.com. God bless you. Talk to you soon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.